Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Wednesday, September 20th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
We have Wendy Wilson joining us today, as we do every Wednesday. But first, we're going to go ahead and we're going to talk about the markets today and exactly how much of a beating gold got today after Janet Yellen came out and decided to hold rates the same, which was no big surprise, and which she was going to announce how they were going to lower some of their debt and bonds and so forth, and she did that, so it's really no big surprise. So really not quite sure why there was these big drops in the market. We had them in the paper markets, but they rebounded. But gold is down $10.90, hovering on that $1,300 level. Each time it broke $1,300, it did come back. And so we'll see where the aftermarket closes at. Hopefully it'll be above the $1,300 level. Silver was down 20 cents today at $1,717. Platinum was down 10, $945. The only one that managed an update today was palladium, that was up 4 at $915. The USDX today, of course, was stronger with that news, higher by 0.63 at 92.46. And crude oil had a big increase, 0.93 at 50.29. Paper markets today, you have the Dow trading higher by 41 points, 22,412. The NASDAQ was down 5 at 64.56. The S&P basically 2 points at 2,508. 10-year yield was up 0.03 at 2.28%. And the euro was down big also, 0.87 at 1.19. You know, Asian markets were fairly quiet overnight. And we'll talk a little bit more about Janet Yellen. We're going to talk a little bit more about Robert Shiller and his estimates, where the market, his comparison of where the stock markets are trading at today. We'll talk all about that here after the first break, as we have Wendy Wilson joining us for the first segment. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Al.
Hello, Wendy.
I thought we'd talk about, you know, what people are being told about their health care insurance. They're being told is, you know, don't take your health care personally. What do you think of that?
Sounds absurd.
Well, we all know what the U.S. government did in 1973. They sold out Americans with their, you know, affordable health care with the affordable, with the HMO Act with Nixon. We talked about that. So that all helped the corporation complex to inflate health care costs. And also, this allowed insurance companies, hospitals, as you know, and clinics, and also medical professionals legally to withhold information relating to your health and withhold or even deny payments for care for just about any reason. This is where you got the pre-existing condition stuff. All right, so now health experts and advocates are telling people that this is just the way it is now, that we shouldn't take our health care so personally. Americans, you know, seems to still have this old-fashioned idea of how health care is working. And Americans, you know, they want to believe that their health care provider really cares about them. Well, the most care that you'll get from them, the health care provider, is they want you to stay healthy enough so you don't file claims and you pay your premiums on time. That's about the gist of it.
Are you suggesting they care more about our money than they do about our health?
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Because it's the business, what it is. So health advocates tell patients now that they need to come to the reality that their insurance provider is a business, a big business, which looks after themselves first, and then the customers are second. So here's what advocates are saying. This is from Sarah O'Leary. She's a CEO and founder of Exhale Healthcare Advocates, and she says this: the primary function of health insurance and their companies is their multi-billion dollar empire, and their focus is to make more billions for themselves and their investors by reducing payouts on healthcare treatments. Patients need to remember to be objective and keep their emotions in check. End of quote.
So if they try to rip you off, you shouldn't get excited about it. It's
Absolutely.
Just business. It's not personal.
Don't take it personally.
Uh-huh.
That's the
just business.
Isn't that nice? Well, yeah. You know, in our modern times, patients need really to keep a real perspective that the only real interest in health insurance companies is to them is purely financial. That's the only reason they're interested in you. And their customers should remain healthy in order to submit few, if no, claims. Therefore, you know, there's this legislative push to involve employers and community entities like schools and churches to invest in these programs that promote people to stay healthy. Now, people say that's a good thing. Well, these are often promoted as wellness programs. And I'm all for wellness, don't get me wrong, and I'm all for staying out of hospitals. But really, individuals need to be responsible for their wellness and not make an employment or a civic responsibility. So these wellness programs are going to play an intricate role in healthcare regarding coverage, premiums, and even treatment approval. Let me tell you where this is going. These wellness programs, people say, well, what is a wellness program? Well, they get to this idea in their head. Is this like where you just kind of attend a monthly meeting, you read some medical brochures, maybe have some unhealthy refreshments? Well, if that were the case, the programs would not have any controlling influence. Okay, so these programs at first have this very soft sell to them, but they're going to exhibit more mandatory tones as they go along. So they will have healthcare professionals there at these meetings, these wellness programs, and you know, which they'll refer to these healthcare professionals basically as a wellness coach. And they get you to sign up for doctor appointments and tests such as get your annual exam, as well as your diabetic screening and your bone density tests and your glaucoma test, your cardiovascular screening, cancer test, vaccines to check up, make sure you're up to date on your boosters and also your influenza vaccines, also venereal disease tests, HIV tests, and also mental health screening. And in a lot of cases, these types of appointments may not be fully or even covered by the insurance. Even if you have deductibles, the patients may have to pay them out of pocket. So the wellness programs are also monitoring programs, which will report data to insurance companies. So this patient-customer compliance will also be rewarded in the form of lower premiums and also employment perks. And you may be saying, well, what can an employer do? Well, the wellness programs are a method of really reforming individual behavior, but it's also promoted as a way to keep healthcare costs low. So employers that actually volunteer to have wellness programs will also benefit financially. So Cigna Corporation, for instance, has this wellness program rule book. It's a book of regulations. It's like an inch and a half thick. And their booklet is to guide employers regarding the participation of their employees and also monitoring their employees' activities such as exercise and smoking. What do you think of that?
Oh, I think the big brother is here.
Yeah. Well, employee rewards are going to be also engaged to encourage the employees to have good behavior, such as they may get a little discount on their premiums. Also, TotalWellness.com has a list of employer incentives they can implement, such as, you know, give your employees maybe extra vacation days or have a celebration party and order pizza, which is not real healthy. Also, drawing for prizes, oh yay, as well as an area for exercise where employees can, on their lunch break, exercise. Also, maybe a reserved parking space and also flex time hours. So these are all incentives. They call them incentives. I look at them as bribes, really.
But yeah, I look at them as peanuts that you feed the elephant to stand up on his hind legs. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the dogs. Give the dog a doggy treat to get him to do tricks.
Well, all these wellness programs is a bunch of hype, and it really draws attention away from the real reason we have high healthcare costs, and it's because, as you know, the government and the health insurance companies colluded in 1973 to usher in this legislation to drive up high costs and eventually lead us to this one-payer system. So this all started with the Health Management Organization Act in 1973 with President Nixon and his friend Edgar Kaiser of Kaiser Permanente. Now, other socialized laws are also contributing to the problem, but in essence, this is why the politicians have been working hard not to really repeal the Affordable Care Act, because they've been working on it for 45 years.
What you're saying here, in part, is that the real problem with American medicine is not American doctors, American hospitals per se. You're saying, you're at least implying that the fundamental problem is with the insurance companies.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, and this is why, with the Affordable Care Act being so intrusive, that doctors just, you know, were upset, and some of them broke off and had little practices of their own where they don't file insurance at all. They just take cash, and your office visit is very reasonable. There's a Blue Ridge, Blue Star, Blue Mountain, something, a group of physicians here in this area, in North Carolina, in the Charlotte area, that you just pay a monthly fee like you would a gym membership. And I think it's something like $30 a month. And you have unlimited office visits and access to your doctor.
Well, that's it's $360 a year. That's, reasonable.
Yeah, you don't have co-pays. You just go see your doctor. Or you have, you know, one of those virtual visits if you prefer it that way. So there's ways around this. Well, let's look at some of this coverage, too, because a lot of people don't understand what their coverage is about. And a lot of these wellness advocates are trying to explain it to them. Most people don't spend a whole lot of time going over their insurance plan and may not even understand the limits, the restrictions, and all those stipulations. And, you know, people don't like to read a lot of these insurance documents. And, of course, lawyers understand that all too well. So a majority of people think that they have total health care coverage when they don't. Here's a quote from Sarah O'Leary. Again, she's Exhale, a healthcare advocate. She tells patients, when you think about healthcare insurance coverage, think less blanket and more Swiss cheese. There is no such thing as 100% coverage. End of quote. So if you're looking at your plan specifics, you know, you want to look at the highlighted areas that have gaps. You want to focus on all the exclusions, the co-pays, the deductibles, and the co-insurance plans that aren't part of your coverage. And you want to be aware that insurance companies will tell you what they do cover, but they won't tell you what they don't cover. And it's prudent, really, to check all your treatments and prescriptions recommended to see if they are covered before you actually utilize them. And this is all to say that, you know, your deductibles, your co-pays, and premiums, they're not the only expenses you're going to have dealing with insurance. So you should know that this is really isn't see if things aren't covered, like emergency events, like is your ambulance ride covered, or an airlift service if you're on the middle of an interstate somewhere. Also, you want to be really informed about what's in and out of network. A lot of this gets kind of a gray area, gets to be a sticky wicket. So it is prudent to check to see, obviously, if your physician's in network, especially in the group of physicians that are listed, because it is possible that the clinic the physician works for is in network, but that specific physician you went to see is not, and so your visit is not covered. Same thing goes with in-network clinics, hospitals. Physicians may not be contracted, even though they work for a hospital that's on your plan. Same thing goes for labs and imaging centers. So this is kind of a tedious job for patients to keep up with the ever-changing lists, but the insurance companies don't hold your hand, and they have a disclaimer on their website that the lists on their website may not be up to date, and they take no responsibility for that, and you must contact them directly.
How about I put a note on my check that my check may not clear the bank, but I take no responsibility for that?
Well, let's get down to their in-house policy. A lot of people don't know this, because I used to work for hospitals and insurance, and I know this stuff, but many health insurance companies have a policy to automatically deny your claim at least once, especially if it's a big bill. So insurance companies know that most of their customers aren't going to challenge a denied claim, and they're going to pay the bill themselves, saving the company millions a year. So insurance companies know the laws are on their side, and the burden is on the patient to prove the charges are legitimate and covered by their policy. So insurance companies do the same thing with expensive drug prescriptions. They stall to see if you'll pay for the medication yourself. And these tactics are done even if the patient gets pre-approval first. So if you challenge a denial of a claim and you know that they're obligated to pay, then what you're going to hear in the end is, oh, that was a clerical error.
Uh-huh.
So this is really widespread insurance fraud, and it's a felony, but the government has left it up to patients to police their own insurance company or contact their state's insurance commissioner. So don't think it's just happening to you. This is pretty much across the board, and it happens every day. Also be aware, there's 80% error margins in all your medical bills, especially from hospitals. This is from a study by the Medical Billing Advocates of America. They said 80% of your medical bills contain errors. They have coding and pricing mistakes, and that you need to address those right away. Hospitals are known to inflate their bills, but they call this balance billing. But that's nothing more than arbitrary across-the-board accounting that inflates the cost of common items like Band-Aids and aspirin. So always wait until the insurance company has processed a bill for your hospital before you pay anything, because hospitals will send patients a bill the same day they send your insurance company a bill. So you want to tell your hospital billing department you're waiting for an explanation of benefits from your insurance before you send them any payments. Patients really don't know that they can actually request that their insurance company or the hospital do an internal manual review of their charges to catch mistakes. And if the provider sends you an account to, let's say, collections, you can also get an expert health advocate to help negotiate your debt. So there's some things out there people need to be aware of. And it just sounds like organized chaos to me. What do you think?
No, it sounds like a racket to me. That's what it sounds like. I mean, their procedure for getting you to pay and for you to find out what you really have to pay is enough to make you sick.
I know.
I don't think that's necessarily just humor or an accident. I mean, drive right. you nuts, and then the doctors will bill you more money.
Absolutely.
Do you have any links available at any of your websites on where people can learn more about this, or can you tell people can we find information on how to deal with the insurance companies?
Well, there's so many insurance companies and there's so many departments. You know, it's just basically I would probably get a health expert advocate to help you out. You could probably Google one local in your area. Obviously, if you have a good insurance company that has a department that can help you weed through a lot of the red tape from a hospital, that's a good thing to have. But good luck with that.
You're pretty much on your own is what you're telling
yeah,
us.
Yeah, well, you know, you're dealing with a business, just like it's a bank, an athletic
not
franchise on Wall Street.
Not even a business. This is set up in a way that the customer is not always right. That's what's going on here in part.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, we're going to run out of time here.
Okay.
Wendy, so give us a little contact information.
Well, absolutely. You might as well just stay out of the hospital altogether, and we can help you with some improving immune boosting, organ cleansing, get the toxins out. Give us a call. We'll send you a free product catalog at 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Also, it's our 15% off fall special through Sunday. Take care.
All right, Wendy. Thanks very much. That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com at 866-229-3663. Give her a call. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Al Fagadis with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. That's Whistling Melody. And
I'm happy today.
Yeah, all right. Well, nothing wrong with that. I don't know why, but there's nothing wrong with it. We approve of people being happy.
Well, the world's going to end on Saturday, so you better be happy.
Depends. It depends.
Well,
you better be happy. Well, depends on where you're people. Going. You'd be happy one way, the other way, very unhappy.
Well, I'm laughing and I'm smiling, so you know what direction I think I'm heading, but I guess you don't know until you get there, but... Anyway, yeah, that's the, and I'm not so sure. I mean, and I'll tell the listeners what we're talking about prior to the program. We're talking about there's this Christian numerologist, David Mead. He's a self-proclaimed researcher predicting that a series of apocalyptic events is going to begin on September 23rd. And and a major part of the world will certainly be different. It will not be the same. And one of those events, of course, is Planet X, which is on a collision course with Earth that will bring world-ending tsunamis and earthquakes. Now, what's interesting, though, is you kind of have to ask yourself, we are having a lot of earthquakes. We're also having a lot of hurricanes. And, in fact, I heard we know about the earthquake in Mexico City. We know there was an earthquake in Japan near Fukushima, but I also heard, and I don't know if that was the earthquake that I heard about, but they were concerned about a tsunami. They didn't think that the earthquake was strong enough, so maybe that was the same one that they were referencing. But a lot of strange things are truly going on. We have Hurricane Maria that is hitting Puerto Rico as we speak. It started this morning, and that's programmed or scheduled to go up the East Coast. Now, we don't know how far out into the waters, into the ocean that the hurricane might go. It might follow the same path as Jose. But again, if it hugs the coast and it's still as strong as it is, I mean, there's a lot of bizarre things that is happening. But don't forget, the last prediction we had about the world coming to the end was the Mayan calendar. Remember that one, Al?
Yeah, vaguely.
2012.
I think I said all along, they just ran out of stone. It didn't end at that 2012 date. They just ran out of stone on their calendars. Well, that's as far as we can go.
And, you know, there's a lot of discussions also about the stars and, you know,
there's some interesting things happening up in the stars that are really very strange and spooky, and perhaps even they're doing something with the Virgo and Saturn and the Sun and the Moon, and they're putting things together in a way that really is pretty strange.
Yeah, but you can also read that a lot of these videos that are promoting the supposed claim about the constellation Leo has 9 stars. So there's supposed to be an addition of 3 wandering stars that brings the total of stars in Leo above the head of Virgo to 12, with the 12 stars forming the crown of the woman in the sky. And that was according to Revelation 12:1.
Yep.
Except if you read some more, that Leo has more than 9 stars. So people saying that Leo has 9 stars, or does Leo have more than 9 stars? So if Leo has more than 9 stars, then that throws the whole scenario out of whack. So, and there's other things that you can also do some comparisons with, whether this is, you know. We won't know until it happens. That's the whole point. No one can predict. No one knows the time. And so there's a lot of misinformation. Just because it's on the internet doesn't... It's true, Al.
Well, sometimes it's false, Melody. It's my understanding there have been a couple of internet articles that are false. You know, actually, I am amused at the number of videos that are put together that you can see if you go to YouTube. And they advertise every day. They've got more of these crazy videos that, oh my gosh, the world's coming to an end. It's happening at 2:00 on Thursday or whatever. And some of the stuff, ancient archaeology, and some of the stuff is, I don't doubt that much, some of this is real. But there's a bunch of other things up there that I think are just fake and fraud. And I am amused, I am surprised, I am mystified, because they're putting out fairly good videos. Somebody's going to a lot of time and effort to assemble a video that promotes an idea that I think is patently false. And I'm wondering, you know, it's one thing to do a prank. It doesn't cost you much money. It doesn't take much time. All right, did a prank. Ha, ha, ha. Pretty funny. But some of these things, they run an hour and a half. And I'm thinking someone is really dedicating a lot of time to trying to communicate this message, these messages. And I can't. And I'm wondering, do they really believe the message, or are they frauds? Are they hoaxes all the way? And they just think if I do an hour and a half worth, and what for? What do they get out of this? I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it's. I look at a lot of it, and I want to explain it for what it's worth. I believe we are in or near end times. I'm not skeptical about the fundamental idea, but I am skeptical about all the people that are jumping up and say, look at me, look at me, look at me. I'm a prophet. I'm whatever, you know. I don't know. Some of it becomes unseemly to me.
I agree, too. I see things. I follow these markets. In following markets, you follow other things. And sure, I believe... We're in end times. We're close to end times. But I also believe no one can predict. And the only place that if I believe that we're close to end times, there's only one place I'm going to be reading, and it isn't the internet. It isn't any YouTube videos that I'm going to watch that tells me what I'm supposed to believe and what is going to happen. To me, these are distractions, and that's what we've all been told will be the biggest thing in end times is distractions. And so, yeah, it's not, the internet is not where you get your news.
Actually, it is.
No,
depending on how you hunt around for it.
There's one book that you get your news.
Well, you're talking about news about end times. All right, I get you that. I understand what you're talking about. I mean,
there's deceptions.
Compared to the mainstream media, the internet is where you get your news. But as compared to the end times, that's another
story. We're talking about the end times, and we're talking about all these videos, whether they're right or whether they're wrong. And there's only one place people need to go to. I mean, we live in an age of deception. And that was predicted. I mean, that does say. And so, yeah, I don't... You know, I just know in my heart, that tells me where we're at and what we should be focusing on. So I told Al prior to the show, well, if we're going to be at the end of the world, maybe we'll just close for the next couple of days. You know?
Yeah, but if we're not?
Let's close for the next couple of days. And
what if we're not?
Then we'll be back on Monday. And I'm just teasing, folks. We're going to be here, and we'll be here till the end with you. I received a letter today. She made a purchase, and I couldn't find her letter. She said some lovely things about discount gold and silver trading, and I was going to share it. I couldn't find her note, and she sent me another note, and it was a little more disturbing because she got caught up in the flooding of Hurricane Harvey.
Yep.
And she lives 100 miles. She lives in Irving, Texas.
Oh.
And she lives, and I don't know if that's where she's staying. I have to read the note a little bit more. But she was 100 miles in from the coast. And she lived, it's not Irving, I think her son lives in Irving, that's where she's at now. But they released water from a river, and her home was flooded by 16 feet. So she has a two-story home, and naturally she had to evacuate because it was 6 feet, you know, in her second story. So she wanted to know about her gold and things like that, so, you know, I'm going to write her about that. But she did say something in here. She says, you know, she says, I'm just going to have to store my gold until this gets handled in a safety deposit box, as much as I hate to do it. And you know what, folks? Sometimes we do have to do something like that if it's temporary. Mm-hmm. I had someone else that called me from Florida, and she says this was when Irma was supposed to basically hit land around where she lived, come on shore. And she says, what do I do with my product? She has a safe and everything like that, so she's secure, but she was going to fly to her daughter's home, which is out of state. And I says, put some of it in a safety deposit. Oh, I don't want to do that. It's like, you know what, folks? Sometimes you might have to do something like that. If you can't take it with you, I mean, she spread her risk. And, you know, it was probably the smart thing for her to do. She can come home now. She can go to the safety deposit box and remove it. But while she was gone, it was safer than leaving it in the safe open to, you know, some sort of vandalism and so forth, looters, you know, if the hurricane had hit where she lived. She lived close to Miami. So, so think about things first. And you have to look at it as what's suitable for you. And do you have other means? And spread your risk and call me. I will help you figure these things out, because I will think about what's best for you and give you ideas and suggestions on what you can do in these disturbing times. We have another hurricane coming up, perhaps the East Coast. We have Maria. It's in Puerto Rico now. And I'm concerned about it because it's sort of following the path of Jose. Well, Jose was a Hurricane 1, Cat 1. And so I'm not sure what this Maria will be. Yesterday we had, you know, the endings of Jose as it headed north. And, you know, we had 25-mile-an-hour winds. And, you know, we had mist of rain throughout the day. It was cloudy, so it wasn't so bad. But, you know, these things can take a terrible turn. And you should prepare. That's what gold and silver and your food and your water and your bug out packs, it's all about. It's about preparing. And
Half the idea of preparation is preparing your mind. And you have to be flexible in the sense that you can think on your feet and deal with the problem that's coming at you at the moment. If you're going to set up and say, I'm going to do exactly this, here's where I'm going to store my stuff, whatever. It's like building the Maginot Line prior to World War II. It'll work real well, provided that the enemy, being the Germans in this particular case, they don't go through the Netherlands and go around it. I mean, there are some things you can't predict. You do the best you can, and you have to be prepared. I'm going to think on my feet.
You prepare for worst-case scenario. That's
I know
what
that you prepare, that's but you what don't you know prepare. What's actually going to... You don't prepare, know exactly what's going to happen.
You prepare for worst-case scenario. Worst case scenarios usually don't happen. But if you're prepared for that, everything, then you are mentally prepared, because usually worst case doesn't happen, and then you're prepared for everything else. So no, preparing your mind is important, but if you prepare for worst case scenario, then, you know, as long as it's, you know, a little logical and, you know, you'll do fine. You'll be okay. And because that's what I do. I prepare for worst case scenario. And then I'm always prepared. I mean, it's just like preparing for your finances. You know, how many times over the years have I heard, you know, once I got my gold and silver, I put it away and I don't worry anymore. You know, I'm prepared for worst case scenario, which is a financial collapse, which is the resetting of the system. I'm prepared for that. I don't have to worry about that anymore. So your mind is prepared also. So again, you know, give me a call if anybody wants to. I mean, I've heard people over the years, they you know, for food storage and things like that, I've saved people thousands of dollars because I give them ideas and suggestions on what's best for them and their families. Not everybody fits in the same little square. And it's the same way with gold and silver. Not everybody fits into the same portfolios when it comes to gold and silver. And that's part of my job, is to, you know, see which peg you do fit in, what is suitable for you. And anymore, every company that sells anything and everything, they just want to make the deal. And we're just not like that at Discount Gold and Silver. So I do have if you want 2017s, if you want 100, 1,000, or 5,000 of them, we got those. But I have
Silver Eagles. You're
Silver
talking
Eagles, 2017s, modern issue today. But I did get a little batch of backdated Silver Eagles. Not many of them. I think they're a little over 100 we have left after we sold what we sold, and I'll sell those about $18 and, you know, 50 cents. I mean, yeah, not very many of them. So if you want them, give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And if Carla answers the phone, just tell her, because I didn't tell her prior to the program that I'd be selling them at $18.50. So great deal. They're nice shape. I looked at them. I inspected them, and they're backed. I think the date on them is some of them were 2009s, but they're nice coins. So give us a call. You get a deal. You get a deal. So Janet Yellen today came out, kept interest rates the same. So I guess she's giving people who want more debt a little bit of a deal. Rates are going to stay the same. And we had a response with the dollar getting stronger. So we had pressure on gold. She confirmed next month they're going to start eliminating their bonds, $10 billion. A month, and which, you know, we can, looks like we're going into break here in a moment now, so we can talk.
$10 billion a month, it'll take them 300 years. Months to eliminate their existing debt, which translates into something like 25 years. It's a gesture so far. That's all it is. I don't think they can make a serious effort.
They can't.
I don't think they care.
They can't.
We're going to break for a couple of commercials, and Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned. I need to hear it just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231. And the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Well, I believe we talked earlier and about Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, not paying their bills on Friday and Monday. Chicago, they're now topping $16 billion for the first time.
$16 billion what?
Unpaid bills. Their unpaid bills top $16 billion for the first time.
For Chicago. We're not talking about the state of Illinois.
Illinois' pile of unpaid bills topped $16 billion for the first time as the state deals with the fallout of a unprecedented two straight fiscal years without complete budgets. The bill backlog is growing despite the enactment of the fiscal 2018 spending plan and income tax increases. Folks, the people of the state of Illinois gets to pay. They get their taxes increased. And what's funny is the spokesman for the Democratic State Comptroller, Susana Mendoza, said what is going to take this backlog down is the borrowing.
They're going to borrow money to pay the existing bills. So they're using their MasterCard to pay off their Visa, to pay off their American Express.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How is it that that'll work for government and it never works for people?
I don't know, but I wish it would. So the governor told reporters that the bonds do not solve any problem. What they're doing is the governor, Rayner, authorized the sale of up to $6 billion of general obligation bonds to pay bills from vendors and service providers that are accruing late payment penalties of as much 12%. He says that it's better to have Wall Street carry our debt than Main Street, Illinois. I'm sorry, Main Street, Illinois is going to pay for it anyway.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So
that's
right. It just makes it
and
sound.
The only thing is when they pay for it, they're going to pay for it with another 12 or 15% on top.
Yeah.
Wall Street's not going to give them full face value on their bonds. Those bonds are going to be written down dramatically. And when it does come time to pay for them, it'll be the Illinois taxpayer who's going to come up with, in theory, got to come up with full face value. They won't, in my opinion. They're never going to be paid. I mean, not in full.
Yeah.
The governor with the United States bonds. They may get some of them, but most of them will never be repaid in full.
The governor told reporters that the bonds do not solve any problem because lawmakers failed to set aside money to make principal and interest payments over the 12 years the debt would be outstanding. They don't have the money to pay the principal. They're saying, hey, we don't have the money to pay the
principal. Not only that, they haven't paid the money. This isn't, we had a bad 6 months. This is 12 years that they have failed to put the money up to pay the bill. This is a little like the college education fund for the child. And you say, well, sorry, Junior, we didn't put any money in the college education fund for the last 12 years. We have one, you understand, but we didn't put any money there. And now we're surprised to find there's no money in the college education fund for your college education. Well... We're coming on problems that are not surprising. We have been laying the foundation for these by being irresponsible, by not paying attention, by allowing ourselves to be diverted. People of Illinois should have been screaming at their legislators and their governors, mayors. They should have been screaming at them for the last 12 years, and they didn't. And now there's going to be a price to be paid for that apathy. And the people of Illinois will scream and shout and say, oh, this is so unfair. But the truth is, it's not. you were irresponsible. You put yourself in great in harm's way. Now you're going to do. Now you're going to suffer for that. And that same, and I don't say that again. I'm not. This is just the pot calling the kettle black. I'm not doing holier than thou right now, because we have all, to greater or lesser extent, done pretty much the same thing with our national economy and our federal government. We have allowed them to behave irresponsibly. We have believed every politician who came up and give us a big toothy smile. And we're going to be held accountable for that, for our poor decisions. And we will be. And it's going to be painful for all of us. And people are going to say, this is so unjust. And the truth of the matter is, it probably isn't. And it's a lesson, though, that has to be learned. It's a situation, this is the kind of thing we are going to go through and experience that none of us are going to enjoy. When this economy finally hits the wall, and it might be this year, and it might not be for several years, I don't know when it's going to happen. But we're going to go through a learning experience that will be painful for all of us. And it's not going to make much difference in my life, because I'm a senior citizen. All right, whether I learn anything or I don't learn anything is not all that important. But it will be important to the children. It'll be important to kids in high school. It'll be important to kids in college who are old enough to say, oh, my gosh, look what those old fools did. And let's make sure we never do the same thing again. So maybe the nation will learn out of this, and maybe we'll come out, perhaps, who knows, better off.
I just wanted
but
to say,
it'll be a while. It's not going to come be better off no. 6 months from now.
Absolutely
or,
not.
This, we're in for a lengthy lesson.
I just wanted to say this one thing before we move on, Al. There was an observation from Nobel Prize-winning economist Robert Shuller,
yep.
And he's been arguing that valuations are extremely expensive. He says the market is about as highly priced as it was in 1929.
Yep.
In 1929, from the peak to the bottom, it was 80% down.
Yep.
And we're going to see the same thing. And he says, and the market really wasn't much higher than it is now in terms of his calculation ratio. So he reiterated to CNBC today that there's one vital characteristic protecting investors from losing their nest egg.
Mm-hmm.
Market psychology.
I know.
I know. Optimism.
Thank
confidence.
God. Yeah. Thank God for that. We're okay now because we've got market psychology back us up.
He says it's not a matter of low interest rates. It's something about the American atmosphere.
I think it has more to do with fluoride in the drinking water than it does with anything
it's
else.
It's partly the Trump atmosphere. Investors love this. He says he can't explain it. Maybe it has something to do with prospective tax cuts, but he doesn't think that it's it. He thinks it's something deeper, and he says it's pushing the American market up. And he says the U.S. has the highest ratio of his CAPE ratio of 26 countries. He says we are number one. He says, I don't want to encourage people to put too much money into the most expensive market in the world. Psychology.
The only thing that's holding this thing up and keeping us from having a significant financial collapse, the only thing that's really holding it up is market psychology.
Yes.
One thing for sure is it's part of why. And he may be correct about that. And we talk about it indirectly on the program periodically when we talk about what is the Dow Jones doing? Hitting records, hitting records, hitting records. Is there a reason why? No. It just is. That's all. It's like Bitcoin. Why is it going higher? We don't know. It just is. All right, that's market psychology. But if market psychology is what's holding things up and making them go higher, that market psychology can turn on a dime, and they can make, which is exactly why market psychology, he made the reference to 1929 and a subsequent fall of 80%. Market psychology pushed that market higher and higher and higher, and then market psychology turned, and the market dropped by 80%. And the same thing can happen here. It's like building it's building your home, your wealth, whatever, on a foundation of marshmallows. It may be pretty attractive for a while. They said, well, this is cool. We've got the house built on marshmallows. But in the end, the marshmallows will collapse. And when they do, you're in big trouble. Which reminds me, again, of a billionaire. Saw his interview. Don't remember his name. Wall Street. They asked him, how did you become a billionaire? And he said, I always sold my investments too soon. And most people would say, well, that doesn't make sense. You could have hung on to the top and you could have made more money. No, he got out while the getting was good. And he became a billionaire. He made it his business not to lose money. Sold early. Didn't wait and think, I can time this. I'm really smart and I can time this and I can get out at the very peak and I'll make a killing. He took what he could get, and then he looked for another investment that was on the way up. And again, he sold it when it was, who knows, three quarters or whatever, some percentage of its maximum value. He couldn't have known that maximum value, but he had a feel for it, right? As most of us do, right? To some degree, you know, you have a feel for it. I mean, is the Dow really going to go to 30,000?
Hey, Warren Buffett said today it's going to 1 million.
The Dow?
Yes, in the next century or something. I don't know. He's old, though. He's getting old.
How old is Warren Buffett, anyway?
He's getting old. Probably late 70s.
Well, at least he's older than I am.
And I saw they had a big old party for Forbes. I guess it was, I don't know how many years, you know, the Forbes magazine, some sort of anniversary milestone or something like that, where you had just a bunch of old rich people. I think that the total at the party was like $125 billion, and you know, it's just, well,
total at the party,
the wealth, the wealth
worth $125 billion.
Yeah, the wealth of all the people. It was probably more than $125 billion.
Yeah, I bet it was.
Buffett was, you know, maybe it was $1.25 trillion. I don't know, but I just saw the headline and just caught my attention.
You weren't invited. Or you didn't have time to go.
I wonder if any of them are single.
Uh-huh. Well, I was invited,
old rich men.
But I was busy. There were things I wanted to watch on the internet, and so I didn't have time to go to the party.
Oh, is that it? Yeah, he Warren Buffett sang with Stevie Wonder, and I'm just there. Oh, good grief.
So you can get away with that. You can get away with that when you're fabulously wealthy.
Wealthy, yeah. And he couldn't sing very well. Warren Buffett didn't sing very well, but anyway. What's next, Dow?
Well, here's something that's a little bit interesting. This is from Technocracy News and Trends, and the headline is "The Alarmist Case for Global Warming is Falling Apart." And what the article says essentially is that while it's climate alarmists have finally admitted that they've got it wrong on global warming. This is the inescapable conclusion of a landmark paper published in Nature Geoscience, which finally admits that the computer models have overstated the impact of carbon dioxide on climate and that the planet is warming more slowly than predicted. All right. Global warming is not the problem that we have been led to believe. Now, you got to wonder, are these computer models merely wrong in their predictions, or have they been programmed to intentionally mislead the public and deceive us into perhaps stampeding to do things that government people in the New World Order want us to do that are probably contrary to our interest, but may be good for the New World Order? And is the government's predisposition to lie about the true size of the national debt just an innocent mistake? Is their predisposition to lie about the rate of inflation, the unemployment rate, the need for free health care provided by Obamacare, the need for a monetary system that's based on debt? Are these merely accidents when they make these statements, or are they doing this to us intentionally? And does it even matter? Does it matter whether the government is lying or simply incompetent, persistently incompetent about fact after fact and index after index that we want to rely on? And what I'm trying to get to is, it is significant and important that the government makes these mistakes, these misstatements, because they turn up on the internet. We find out about them. We are not as ignorant as we once were. And as we see government misleading us, we lose confidence in government. we become cynical. We get to a point where it's, oh, yeah, what do they say the total debt is? Oh, don't believe that. You know, we don't believe what government is saying. And this is important because our monetary system and our economy is based on public confidence. And what I'm trying to illustrate here is that by government involving itself repeatedly, getting caught in lie after lie after lie after lie, or mistake after mistake after mistake, they diminish public confidence. And I'm suggesting that as the more government lies or makes mistakes, whichever way you want to look at it, the less confidence we have in government, less confidence we have in the system, and ultimately the less confidence we have in the fiat monetary system. And I'm wondering, can we make the argument that government lies and or mistakes are ultimately conducive to destroying the monetary system? I think it's an argument that's at least intriguing, and it might even be true. I think it's true to in part. I think it has to be true in part. Is it true predominantly? I don't know. But the government keeps telling us fibs or mistakes, and I think those mistakes and those fibs are taking this country down all by themselves. We're out of time. I want to thank you folks for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.